Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com.
I get the privilege of talking to you guys today. It's a little weird because I'm often referred to as the new guy on staff, which is fine. I'm often referred to as the young guy, you know, the guy who is a little more inexperienced in life. I think Derek even was like, "How old are you, man? You're almost half my age." I was like, "Not quite. I'm older than that." So I was pretty excited about that. But man, I often try and prove myself because I'm the youngest on staff and the newest guy. So I'm gonna tell you a little embarrassing story just so you can get to know me a little bit better. We, as a staff, have tried to go bike riding, mountain biking. I've never mountain biked in my life. I know, shocking. You guys probably all love mountain biking. So I love it, too. First time, before I even went, I like went out and bought a mountain bike, because I was like, I'm going to buy something cool. I got to look good to ride good. So I buy a mountain bike, and I think it was Steve. He's like, "We're going to go up Tyhack and ride down Government." I was like, "Don't know what that means. We're going to ride down some single track." "Awesome, sounds great. Let's have some fun." And so we start out, and you know, Steve's like, "All right, you young legs, go take the lead." And I was like, "Oh yeah, this is my turn to show them up, right? I'm the young guy." So I start pedaling as fast as I can. I got all these tips from like Blake Appleby and everyone. I was like, "All right, keep your cadence really fast, you know, fast all the way up. Makes it easier." So I'm going and I'm pedaling as fast as I can, and I'm keeping up with Dan Kale because he's a monster on the mountain. And I'm like, "Yes, this is awesome. I'm leading the pack." And then all of a sudden I start getting tired. I'm like, "How long is this ride?" And we keep going, and I see Dan's feet keep going fast. And I'm like, "I need to keep going fast." And I start slacking off, and Tim O'Keefe passes me. I'm like, "Oh, man, I can't let Tim pass me." But I'm like, "All right." And at this point, I'm like dying. And I'm like, "This bike, I spent a lot of money on it, and it's not working. It's broken." And then all of a sudden, so Tim passed me, and Steve, he's very, like, methodical. He's just cruising, you know, not even a sweat. He's going his, yeah, wisdom, he said. And he comes up next to me, and I'm like, "There is no way Steve Woodrow is going to pass me. But I'm tired." And he's like, "Man, kicking into granny gear." I was like, "What's granny gear?" "You have gears for a reason." And I was like, "I mean, I'm in granny gear." He's like, "No, you're not, man. Check it out." And he hits like my button, or like he shows me my button. Oh my goodness, I was using my high gear the entire time. I know. So that's just an insight to me. I'm young, I'm youthful, I make a lot of mistakes. But you know, enough about me. To take attention off of myself, I'm gonna introduce my family. I have a beautiful family. I know, beautiful wife. Aww. Her name is Amanda. Married almost 4 years. I remember this, don't worry. My daughter, Emery, she's 2.5, the love of my life. And actually, in this picture, probably about a couple weeks old, is our second daughter. She's on the way. So awesome. I know, we didn't even know. It's great. But she's in our family picture. So fun. You know, and you're like, "There's such a cute family." I know, we live in a one-bedroom apartment. So fun. But we're obviously looking for a bigger place. So yeah, sorry if I seem a little scattered. Obviously, VBS is happening, and they're like, "Hey, Brian, it's a great idea to have family worship service the Sunday right before VBS. And hey, can you run with it if you want." And I was like, "That'd be cool, right? It sounds like fun, be on stage and talk." And all of a sudden, last week hit, and I was like, "I am so just tired and stressed out about everything. I don't know what I'm going to do." So I actually took a self-portrait of myself. Yeah. Okay, obviously that's not me, but the biggest difference is, you know, he's white and I'm not. But I know you're thinking, how is that even relevant to you? The stress and the fear of VBS, I think, can quite nearly scare the Asian right out of me. I know. That's, yeah, so fun. Anyways, we're going to dive right into our Bible. So let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you so much for this time. I thank you for every heart that's here today, God. I pray that you would speak through me, God, that your words would permeate everything else. Lord, I just pray that we would just fall in love with you today. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so to preface, I know that it's family worship. I know you have your kids, and some dad even told me, man, if I would have known, I wouldn't have brought my kids, or I wouldn't have come. I get that. Kids are restless. So we have gummies at the side of each stage. They are free to come up and grab some. You're free to come up and grab some if you're feeling restless. Go get some sugar. I know, it's great. I'm used to kids. I have one of my own. I lead the kids downstairs. If they're getting restless, don't feel panicked. I can control myself. It's all right. All right, so we are talking today. I know, while they're doing that, it's great. Get one. Yeah. So we're talking today in Ephesians chapter 3 while they're running up to get gummies. If you want to open your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. Yeah. And the title of my message is Falling Madly in Love with God. Man, there's nothing that brings me closer to God than see kids worship. And part of why we're doing what we're doing today, I think it's so important for kids to see adults worship and love God. Kind of what Steve shared in 3 John. What's up, Elliot? How's it going? There's nothing greater than to see kids trust in the Lord. So for this message, we don't ever tone things down for our kids. I want to bring truth to them every single day. So this message, you're going to be like, oh, my kids aren't going to get this. I think they can. I think they can understand what we're talking about. So we're going to be reading Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19. I'll read it for you. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, that's an awesome goal to shoot for, to be filled with the fullness of God. I think that's something we never want to have a shallow relationship with anyone, but especially not God, right? We want to have this full relationship with him. So Paul is talking and kind of gives us a breakdown on how that plays out. So in the beginning it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That's a good start, but why? And it says, so you might be rooted and grounded in love. Again, awesome, but why? So that you can know the love of Christ, so that at the end, you're going to be mature. You're going to be complete. You're going to be filled with the fullness of God. So that's what we're kind of talking about. And Paul talks a lot about this inner man, right? He talks about the heart issues, not just the symptoms. So that's what I'm going to talk about today too, the heart issues, right? Not just symptoms. For example, symptoms. Exhaustion is one for me right now. Don't judge me. I didn't drink coffee growing up. I worked at Peach's Cafe. I might have even seen a lot of you serving coffee there. I worked there as the manager for a couple of years. And they did not know that I didn't like coffee. It's a coffee shop, in case you didn't know. It's a coffee shop. So they had me go on all these coffee conferences and go taste everything. And, hey, Brian, what one do you like best? It's like, that one? I faked it a lot. It was great. But anyways, once I had a kid, bring on all the coffee. All of it, I know. So caffeine, you know, it masks the symptom of tiredness. And I've realized it does it effectively. But that's not really getting to the issue. I'm tired. What I really need, sleep, maybe a healthier diet, like eating Oreos last night at 10:30 on my couch. Probably not a good idea. But yeah, those are symptoms. What I really need is to address that core issue of being tired. And in ministry, we often talk a lot about symptoms. Why don't we serve more? Why don't we give more? Why aren't we loving our neighbors? Why do we fight in marriages? Why don't we share our faith? Why are we so greedy, right? Those are all good things to address, but it's symptoms of a deeper issue. A deeper heart issue. And I think it's because we don't, and I'm not going to speak for you, I don't always understand how much we have in Jesus Christ. I asked this to our high school group when I used to lead the high school group. I said, do you know who God is and how much he loves you? And they're like, yeah, of course. No, I was like, no, no, no. Do you know who God is? Like, if he showed up right here, would you know him? And do you know how much he loves you? And I think that's the root of a lot of our issues, us not knowing or understanding God's fullness, his love. And I think that, you know, if we got that, if we're like, yeah, I can totally understand God's love, man, all our stuff, our symptoms, man, I don't care about those things. I wouldn't be worried about, you know, I can't serve this Sunday because I might be going mountain biking, or I might be skiing. It might be powder day in June. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Probably not out of the realm of possibility. But, you know, if I truly understand who God is and who he says he is in my life, none of that matters. I want to be with him, right? Everything else just kind of fades away. It's my funny preface. Here comes my funny joke, so be prepared to laugh. If you really understood the love of Christ, you would sacrifice everything and help out at VBS. Just kidding. But if you really understood the love of Christ, man, you'd be willing to sell everything and say, I want that. I want Jesus. Like, I have to have it. There's no middle ground. There's no compromise. There's no, it's kind of cool, right? Because the problem is we just don't understand how good God is. And I think that's true for me too, is not understanding and not really seeking after him, because we have it great here. We have a great life. We live in Aspen. Or we're visiting Aspen. If you're visiting, that's even cooler, because who likes anything better than to vacation in a place that's sunny and 75 outside? But God's even greater than that. He's greater than the weather, greater than mountain biking, as cool as that is, or skiing, right? And I think some of us just don't understand the love of God like we should. The depth, right? How wide, how deep, how long is his love? How deep is his love? I mean, we kind of get it. I mean, I kind of want to follow Jesus sometimes, right? But is that a fullness of God that I'm experiencing? I mean, if we really understood that, it changes everything. It changes the way we parent, changes the way we serve, the way we give, the way we love, especially, right? And Paul knew this, and he was on his knees for this. So in verse 16, it says, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. Paul knew that this is something that only God can grant, right? No matter how hard I try, I know I'm pretty exciting and pretty funny sometimes, but no matter how many jokes I tell, I can't make you fall in love with Jesus. It's just physically impossible. For example, have you all had a friend? The single friend that you try and set up with everyone, you're like, oh my goodness, you would be perfect for this person, right? My friend's name is Jacob Fuller. I love this man. He was a groomsman at my wedding, and I went to college with him, and he is an attractive man, athletic, smart. He got his degree in mathematics. Who does that? I don't know. And so anytime I met someone, I'm like, hey, you should meet my friend Jacob. Or I'd casually introduce people while we're hanging out, you know. Hey, so, oh, you're both single? How funny. Oh, this is great. I know, and you laugh about it, and you're like, oh, yeah, Jacob, we try and hang out more, but he's just so busy serving God. You know, he's loving the Lord. But, you know, maybe he'd make time to hang out with you, huh? And, you know, you kind of try and make those introductions, and at the end, I always look at him and like, so what'd you think? He's like, she's nice. Or I ask her later on, like, so my buddy Jacob, he's pretty cute, right? And, yeah, he's okay. So we can make the introductions. It's the same with Jesus. I can make the introduction, but I can't make them fall in love, right? I can't make you fall in love with Jesus. And for example, for you guys, I can make the introduction for Jesus. I can say, listen, the creator of the world loves you so much, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, to have a relationship with you, that his son died on the cross for you, that God watched his son die. I mean, what kind of love is that, right? Like, oh my gosh, to watch your son die for someone else. Never, I mean, I love all you guys already, just seeing your faces. I would never, ever want to watch my daughter die for one of you. I just love her too much. But God's like, I love you so much that I'm going to watch my son die. But not only that, he rose from the grave. Awesome. And he ascends into heaven so we can have eternal life. And he gives us his Holy Spirit so we can be empowered. Like, God is so good. He loves you. And I can ask the question, so what do you think? Like, huh? God's pretty cool, huh? And I think most of our answers is, eh, he's okay. What? Like, God of the universe, the God that created everything, loves you, loves me, and wants a relationship, and we go, oh, he's okay. But I think my plans are more fun right now. Maybe later on in life. No, the creator of the universe wants to know you. Right? So, oh my gosh. So I can make the introduction, but I can't make anyone fall in love. And nothing, as this passage says, nothing happens unless the Holy Spirit intervenes. And honestly, that's why I get on my knees for my family. I get on my knees for my wife and my daughters. Honestly, for your sons and daughters too. Because I know they have to know the love of Christ. That's it. Like, if nothing else in my life, if my daughter doesn't get straight A's, if she's not athletic, which might happen because, I mean, I'm okay athlete, and my wife, she's pretty clumsy. So it might happen that she's not a good athlete, and I have to be okay with that. But if she doesn't know the love of Christ to its fullness, man, I've missed the mark. Nothing else in this life matters. So with our kids, even if you don't have your own children, your spiritual children, how many lives do you touch on a daily basis? Are you on your knees praying that they would know the fullness of Christ? Right? Verse 19 goes on to say, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I like that. I like being able to worship a God that I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me, right? That whole, the song, that 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Oh my gosh, I laugh every time. And the kids don't get it, I know, because they're not in mathematics yet, but I'm glad that Derek brought it up, because, man, I laugh every time, because it doesn't make sense. And I hope I'm not teaching your kids wrong mathematics, but at the same time, if I can teach them who God is, then math doesn't even matter, right? I know. Yeah, and it's just saying that it doesn't make sense to me, but the Holy Spirit gives us that knowledge, allows us to understand that. And that, for me, is so relieving, right? Like, it doesn't make sense to me how I'm on this stage talking, but, you know, the Holy Spirit does it. It's all through his power. Man, I just keep going back. We have to know his love. If we knew his love to its fullness, we wouldn't love our sin as much. If we knew his love to its fullness, we wouldn't fight with each other as much. And I hesitate to share this because I heard it one time and I think it might strike up some emotions, but I heard this that said, there's never been a spirit-filled couple that has divorced. Never. Man, I think, again, the issue is, as individuals, we're not understanding the love of Christ, that we're not filled with him, right? And that's our issue. It's not about his needs or her needs or love languages. Like, that doesn't solve anything. I know. Trust me, my wife and I have totally different love languages. My love language right now is physical touch and, like, words of affirmation, and she's pregnant. And if you've ever known a pregnant lady, they don't like to be touched so much, especially with a 2-year-old hanging all over her all day and all night. I know. So it's not about love languages. And I'm not banking our relationship on that. But it's all about being full of Christ's love. I mean, yeah, I graduated college with a degree in psychology, and I've done so much extensive research on couples therapy, or just therapy in general, marriage and family therapy, especially at taking this job. I was like, okay, how can I be prepared to counsel others? Or how can I be prepared to have my own marriage succeed, right? Reading tons of stuff. But it boils down to just knowing the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, which doesn't make sense again, but that's awesome. So my question for you, and don't answer it out loud, don't nod in agreement, it's between you and God. I know some of you are going to be like, yeah, I totally agree, yeah. Don't do that. So my question, it's between you and God, and it's a heart question. Are you sure right now that Jesus Christ is crazy about you? Not about this whole, you know, for God so loved the world. No. For God so loves you, and he wants a personal relationship. Like, are you 100% sure of that? And I mean, honestly, I'm not all the time. I waver, right? I think oftentimes I struggle, and I know I'm running out of time. Sorry, I'm talking, but it's too good to stop. Oftentimes when I'm on staff here, if people ask, like, what's the hardest part about your job? I'm like, getting volunteers is so hard. This is a shameless plug, I know. And I keep thinking, like, why is it so hard? It's teaching kids about Jesus. Right? And I look at my life and all the things that I feel like I've done, and I'm like, God, is that enough? Right? I used to serve the high school ministry, and I did that for years. If you've never seen me, I've actually been coming here for like 3.5 years. And I still had people come up to me and introduce themselves. I'm like, are you new here? Or actually better than that, are you a music student? I know. Yeah. So good. But man, I realized at that point I was not fully invested in this church. I didn't know who God was, obviously, because I wasn't making myself known a little bit better. I'm loving you guys any more than I should have. And I saw everyone else. I saw some people serving in the nursery, serving in Inspire Song, serving in the cafe, serving everywhere. I mean, those people are so rare, but man, I was so humbled by those people. And I know I don't always live like that, but man, how cool would it be if I did? Maybe if I did, you guys would actually recognize me as not the guy just in the costumes. I know, I tried to wear a nice shirt for you guys today. So I'm going to ask again, I don't want us to waver, but are you sure that God loves you? And I'm going to end with this so the worship team can start coming up. This question of, well, I'm going to read a passage, but the question, how much do you think God the Father loves his Son? Probably a lot. I would imagine it's the most perfect love that I can witness, right? But that's why this verse is a little, it's powerful, but it's hard for me to swallow. So it's on the screen, John 15:9. I'll read it really quick. Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Just as the Father loves me, that's Jesus, so have I loved you. Man, Jesus loves us so much, and we're missing it. So I'm going to ask again, if you really understood who God was and how much he loves you, how different would we live our lives? Worship, serving? Man, I want to spend all my time with him. So do you really understand that God loves you? And if you do, are you loving him back? Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father God, God, we just thank you so much for how much you love us. God, I'm sorry that I'm selfish, that I think my ways are better. God, that you love us so much and you just want a relationship with us. So I pray, God, that we'd acknowledge your love. God, that you are the beginning and the end. You always are. So I pray that we would know that. I pray that we would speak that into the lives of our children, to the lives of our friends and co-workers. God, I pray that we would just love you and fall in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.